part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part. Fanboy.com.
Okay, so welcome to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. I am Christian Horn, and for the first time ever in the history of this podcast, I'm kind of going it alone on this one. None of the other guys were available. People get busy. They have film projects, writing projects, family stuff to take care of. And usually when there's a skip week, it's because one of them can't make it. But this week, there was such a monumental occurrence in the TV landscape that I felt strongly about that I felt that I had to sort of Bill Burr this podcast for this week. So for those of you who don't know who Bill Burr is, he has a podcast. He's a stand-up comedian. He's hysterical. But his podcast is one of the few, if not the only one, where he basically seems to speak to the audience directly on his own. So you should go listen to that podcast. But before you do, stay here, because this week we are actually going to talk about the AMC premiere of Preacher. So I have a lot to say about this, and I didn't want a week or a couple of weeks to go by, because if you've ever listened to the podcast, you know that the comic book Preacher, written by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon, is something that I hold dear to my heart. It was a very powerful reading experience when it first came out. I love the book. I think it's fantastic. As we've been rereading them from the podcast, and you can search through the website, www.parttimefanboy.com, to see past episodes where we've discussed several arcs of the Preacher comic. I just think it still holds up. I think it's a fantastic reading experience. I think it's almost perfect in every way. When I originally read it, it was the first comic, I think, that actually made me cry at one point. So you can see that I'm very attached to the source material. Yeah, it's a very big deal for me, the fact that this is getting made into a TV show. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a fan who loves the show. Now, let's get some things straight. Just because, I mean, a fan who, I do not love the show. Let's get some things straight. Just because I love the comic, or comics in general, I realize that there are things that need to be changed when you adapt something to another medium. I get it. I've been around the entertainment industry, comics, long enough to know that things are going to change. But the first thing that I want to discuss about this pilot and about Preacher in general is how it works as an adaptation of the comic. Because as if you're going to talk about adapting something, I think that this very much fails spectacularly. I do not think it is faithful to the source material in certain ways, and I'll get to that explanation, those explanations soon. I think it falls short of the comic. And I just don't think it lives up to the potential of what the comic book series was. And many of you may think that, yeah, I'm too attached to the source material. It could very well be true. Like, the pilot itself is well done. It's well shot. It's well acted. Got a great cast, you know, but it's not Preacher. it's got the name on there and it's got certain aspects to it that, you know, it has a vampire named Cassidy. It has a preacher named Jesse Custer. It has a female character named Tulip. But that's kind of where the similarities end, you know. And let's just start with talking about tone, the tone of the piece. Because for me, Preacher is very much about tone. Whenever I read the original comic Preacher, the tone very much reminded me of something like Terrence Malick's Badlands, which is an amazing film. Martin Sheen, Sissy Spacek. It very much was that sort of feel to it, where it is has a beauty and a stillness to it, but a poignancy that is not wrapped up in flash or flare. There is a sort of sweetness, but a light intensity to the material that draws you in and makes you love the characters. It is not dependent upon flashy action sequences. It is not dependent upon quick cuts. It's a very slow build. So to me, the original Preacher very much encapsulated that Old West sort of almost a Sergio Leone magnificence to it. Sergio Leone, Terrence Malick's Badlands, even aspects of Tarantino are obviously in there. So that is the tone that I feel the comic book series reached for and achieved in a lot of ways. The biggest problem that I have with this pilot is its tone. Its tone is completely way off for what I feel Preacher should be. I feel that the tone in this, it just, instead of building tension, instead of growing organically, it uses just really sort of almost cheap humor and quick cuts and in-your-face fighting scenes that remove it from any sort of grounded reality that the comic embraced. Like when you read Preacher, it felt like it was happening in the real world, that it was grounded in reality. I feel that where Preacher fails so spectacularly is its lack to feel like it is ethereal, that it is occurring in a real place, in a real time. It fails to me in very much the same way that Watchmen failed, which to me, for, you know, all the people that embraced Watchmen, I felt was a spectacular failure, because Watchmen to me felt like a New York of the late 70s, early 80s. Instead of being flashy computer effects, slow motion, Watchmen should have felt like you were on a street in Travis Bickle's New York from Taxi Driver. So for me, what really fails in a big way, is the tone of the Preacher pilot. I feel like the directors, the producers really missed the boat, because that is something that the heart of the piece is missing. The soul of it is missing. Instead, what you have is something that embraces the sort of cheap kind of filmmaking techniques that we've all become accustomed to. And when I say cheap, I don't want to sound too derogatory, but it seems like, look, when something gets adapted, and the reason something gets changed in a comic book or a comic book piece for the most part is because either the comic is a long form narrative, which you can't fit into 2 hours, hour and a half, hour 45 minutes of a movie. Okay, we don't have that problem with Preacher. Or it gets changed because of budgetary concerns, filmmaking concerns, things that can't be fit in. It would be very hard for a filmmaker to make sort of a Avengers movie that is extremely faithful to some of the whacked out craziness that Jack Kirby and Stan Lee gave us in the early days. It's just, it wouldn't be possible. So there are things that need to be changed or updated or upgraded. My thing with Preacher is that I feel that it's a piece that could very well be done on almost an indie budget. On almost very much of it could be done without the need for large-scale special effects or big action pieces. It is a very simple, deceptively simple piece of work in that when you read it, it feels like it has a very independent sensibility to it. And I feel that that is part of what the pilot has fallen victim to, is big budget spending, the need for flashy graphics, the need for big set pieces, jumping out of airplanes, you know, the meteor coming to Earth, which, you know, quite honestly, is a piece in the comic that is supposed to have a lot of gravity to it, but in this, it's kind of played up like a joke in that it's shot like a very sort of 50s low-budget sci-fi movie. And that sort of is the thing that is the problem with this pilot, is that there are so many moments that should land with power, and because of the need for extreme gore or just using a cheap way out, because you don't trust that the audience will accept what's in front of them, it becomes less grounded. That is sort of the biggest thing, is like, there's people who will say, or I've seen say online, like, well, it's an adaptation. And the thing is when you take an adaptation, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, I very specifically remember seeing a John Grisham movie in the theater, having read the book. It's called The Firm. It's a Tom Cruise movie. And I remember reading the book and thinking it was, like, fantastic. Thinking, like, oh, I'm really going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy the movie. The movie's really good. And I go into the theater and I watch the Tom Cruise movie, and it does not resemble the book at all. Barely. The bare bones are there, but the book is not there. And to me, it was like, why buy this thing or use this thing if you're going to change it completely? And that's very much what the Preacher, you know, make no mistake, that's very much what the Preacher pilot has done here. It has dramatically changed the tone of the original piece. It is no longer sort of a sweet but messed up story of friends discovering each other, working through their first contact and discovering a friendship. This is something else. This is something entirely new. And it's not faithful to the comic. It just isn't, in my opinion. You know, take it for what it's worth. You know, and a big reason for this is, yeah, it's the fact that things don't necessarily need to be changed. I don't need a slavish representation of the comic. I don't need you to follow it beat for beat. You know, and God knows there's people who are saying, like, yeah, there's no way you could adapt Preacher. Yeah, obviously there's or faithfully adapt Preacher. Yeah, obviously there's issues with, you know, the religion, the religious sort of, the sacrilegious nature of the book. There's the sex stuff. There's the violence stuff. But, you know, quite honestly, if there's anything that, you know, The Walking Dead, which is on the same network as Preacher, AMC, has shown us, is that you can get away with a lot of violence on basic cable. You know, cable that's basically free. I'm not even talking about HBO. I'm talking about cable that you pay the basic fee for and you're getting AMC. You can get away with a lot of violence. So that is not like a concern. I think what many people are discussing when they say you cannot make a piece by piece matchup to the comic is they're talking about the sex stuff. the quote unquote sort of sexual perversion stuff, the homophobia, and the religious stuff. Now, this is what I say to people who talk about the sex stuff. The sex stuff, as crazy as it gets and as gratuitous as it can get in Preacher, you know, that stuff can be shot around. That stuff, you don't have to see what they're doing in the comic book. So that to me is not even a consideration. You can infer things. You can not show things on screen. If something sexually happens to a character, if somebody is, you know, assaulted in a certain way, or affronted by something or disgusted by something, you don't have to show it. You can do it in a way where the audience gets it or maybe even doesn't get it, but they understand that something crazy happened. So that sort of thing, I throw that out the window. I don't buy that. I think that you could make a very close adaptation to what happens in the comic without having to sacrifice certain elements of it. You could have the meaning in there, even with the religious stuff, and not have to outwardly say it. And that's what I think is the biggest thing that suffers in this pilot, is the need to have everything shown right away or be in your face, whereas there was a much more subtle feel to the original work. You know, yes, there were action sequences. Yes, there were sort of in-your-face, hysterical, sexually inappropriate moments. But there was a subtlety. There was a groundedness to it. There was a feeling of reality. And that, to me, is the biggest thing that is missing from this. People will disagree with me, but honestly, that is the thing that bugged me the most about this, was that the tone was way off. And I wanted to really like it. From the beginning, when the meteor's coming down, I thought, okay, they're doing something kind of clever here. I'm going to go with it. But as the pilot went on, I saw that this was going to be sort of what has become a very, quote-unquote, typical Tarantino wannabe knockoff type of show. And that was an extreme disappointment to me. Okay, so that is the first thing. I believe that the tone in this show is completely off, at least when you're talking about adaptation to a comic book. So let's talk about the characters. Let's talk about the changes that were made with the characters. Now, obviously, you know, the big change that I will sort of get to later, but I feel is kind of inconsequential in a way, is Ruth Negga. Obviously, she is not a Caucasian blonde woman. Now, as much as I would have loved to have seen Tulip sort of step out of the pages of a comic book, okay, I get it. This is a thing that is a trend that is occurring in, you know, pieces that are adapted from comic books. And I'm fine with it. Like, I don't have a big deal. It's not killing me. As long as the character was an interpretation in deep down of what the character was in the comic. Well, unfortunately, that's kind of shot out the window. And I'll get to that in a bit. But the thing that I want to get to the most, the biggest thing that I want to get to, the biggest change that kind of drove me nuts was Jesse Custer. Now, you know, the casting of Jesse Custer is great. Dominic Cooper, I mean, the guy's a great, really solid actor. You know, he's a great actor. He visually sort of fits it. I mean, I never really pictured Jesse Custer as sort of like the square-jawed, handsome type. I figured he was like good-looking, but sort of in a handsome guy, but in a more normal person sort of thing, like maybe quirky good looks in a way, striking appearance. But okay, Dominic Cooper really works. So I'm not going to complain about the casting of Dominic Cooper. The guy's a great actor. I enjoyed his stuff in Agent Carter and, you know, the Captain America movies. He's solid. The problem that I have with Jesse Custer, oh my God, it's just such a mess. It really, really is. Because from the beginning, you know, and this delves into his relationship with Tulip, they have basically changed much of his motivation for being a preacher. You know, I mean, as the pilot opens, you get the idea that, yes, this is Jesse Custer. He's a preacher in a small town, and he loathes what he does. He loathes the people that he, you know, preaches to. He loathes the community that he's in. He sees them as rednecks, as beneath him. He's bored with their problems. And yes, the people in the town, their problems, many of them are presented as sort of, you know, not worthy of being addressed, except for one particular incident with the little boy. But the biggest thing here, and the biggest flaw in the pilot, and the biggest flaw to Jesse Custer's character, is the fact that at least at this point in the pilot, it could change like in the season, but I don't know how they're going to angle it this way. You're getting the sense that Jesse Custer really wants to be a preacher. And that is a big character change. That's huge. That is a big, big change of character. Because in the comic, his motivation for being a preacher is very much because he is being threatened by his family to do so, to follow the family credo or gospel and do what his horrible grandmother wants him to do, which is basically be a preacher at Anvil and minister to that community. He's being forced to do it. He doesn't want to be there. He's seen his friends, his family, Tulip's life be threatened. You know, even before he gets imbued with Genesis, he's not only miserable because he hates the community, but this is not what he wanted to do with his life. And at the point in the comic when it begins, he's already left the love of his life to protect her from his family. In this pilot, it's such a different thing. I mean, you get the sense that he wants to be there, that he wants to do a good job as a preacher, that he wants to minister to this community, but he can't. He can't bring himself to care. You know, and what's lacking in the character of Jesse Custer and what is lacking in Dominic Cooper's performance is the sense of being trapped, the sense of having to do this because you're being made to. In the pilot, he's struggling with the fact that he can't bring himself to care. And you don't get the sense in any way, I don't know if this is a directorial problem or a writing problem or an acting problem, but you don't get the sense that he is trapped like a rat in a cage, for lack of a better term, you know? And that is the sense that you very much got from Jesse in the comics. You know, and that is a huge change of character. That's a huge change of motivation. Obviously, in the pilot, you know, and this is another thing, they allude to the fact that Jesse's dad was a preacher. In the comic, he was a Vietnam War vet, and they never alluded to him having been a preacher. Who knows? Maybe that was in Garth Ennis's backstory somewhere. I don't know, you know, but the biggest problem here is the sort of motivation that they're giving Jesse for being a preacher is to live up to his father, who was a preacher before him. And that is just way, way, way different than anything in the book. Because in the book, his father would not have wanted him to kowtow to his family's wishes, to be a slave to their desires. It was just a thing that you wouldn't even think about in the book. Now, granted, in the book they didn't get into his years as a preacher, or at least I don't remember them getting very much into that. It was secondary. But here, they've made it a very primary thing. And again, it changes the tone, it changes the character, and quite honestly, it makes Jesse like, he's played like this mopey, sad-eyed bastard, and that's something that wasn't in the comic. Even when Jesse was feeling trapped, he was always a fighter. He was always somebody who fought the status quo. And the Jesse Custer in this series is not that. Maybe he'll grow into that. But as of now, seeing this pilot, I didn't get the first four episodes like a lot of TV critics did. But looking at this pilot, it is such a huge deviation from the book to me. Like downward, the DNA of the character, the DNA of Jesse Custer, that I can't get with it in my head. Like this pilot of Preacher has really presented me with a Man of Steel moment where I was watching Man of Steel. I'm a huge Superman fan and I'm going, you've got to like this. You've got to like this. You can make it work in your head, especially after the tornado death scene. And I'm sitting there watching this Preacher thing and I'm like, you've got to be open-minded. You've got to just go with it. It's not the same thing as the comic. But the tone, the change in Jesse's character, just my brain could not get with it. I just felt like a giant like needle was going across a record. You know, that sound that a record makes. And it just pulled me right out. And I had a very hard time getting back in. You know, and you know, going back to Jesse, like the other thing that really deviates here is the relationship with Tulip. Let's just the consideration that Tulip is a different race or skin color than she is in the comic. Let's just toss that out. I'm not that hardcore. I don't care about that. And quite honestly, there could have been minimal changes to Preacher that I could have lived with. I would have been fine with. It's a TV show. It's moving pictures. But the one thing that did not need to be changed was the nature of the relationship with Jesse and Tulip. And in this series, that shit is gone. I don't care what you say. Like, it's just gone. It's not there. You know, in this series, that sort of long-lost love thing that was there in the beginning of Preacher and the discovery of Tulip and Jesse coming together after having been sort of, you know, very like in Say Anything style, the Cameron Crowe movie, you know, them being torn apart, them being pulled, you know, apart from each other due to circumstance, due to Jesse's crazy, batshit crazy family. That's not there in this pilot. And that is like the kernel, the seed of the whole series is Jesse and Tulip's romance. The seed of how everything grows from the beginning of the series. That all flows from Jesse and Tulip's relationship, where they haven't seen each other. Jesse disappears for some reason. Tulip harbors a huge resentment towards Jesse. And then they run into each other again, completely by accident. And they have to rebuild their relationship. And Jesse has to sort of prove his love over again to her. And that's not there. You know, none of that is there. I mean, there's not even a hint of it. In this pilot, what you get is you get a Jesse who knows Tulip, but they've maybe not seen each other in a while, but they haven't been apart for like years. Tulip has been hurt in some way by Jesse, but it's not in the way that it was done in the comic books, which was much more powerful and much more impactful. In this show, it's just not, it doesn't play out in a romantic or strong way. It just doesn't. It doesn't work. Instead, what you get are two people who kind of know each other, had a romantic relationship, and Tulip is a badass, but she's sort of being pursued by somebody trying to get in on another, a break-in job or stealing something. And she wants Jesse to come with her. And that's the conflict. They sort of had a relationship, but they, you get the feeling that they kind of see each other every once in a while. Maybe she's been gone a little while, but it's not the shock that you have when you've had maybe your first love and you run into them again by accident, which a lot of us have probably had that experience. And it's shocking, and it can be heartbreaking, and it can be, you know, horrifying to run into that person that maybe broke your heart a long time ago, out of the blue, not expecting it, especially in a moment of crisis like it was in the comic. That is not there. The nature of Jesse and Tulip's relationship is gone from the comics. It's something completely new. And I get that. I get that this is something completely new. Ooh, it's an adaptation. But it's not an adaptation if you're not adapting it, okay? What's happening here is that they've taken the soul out of the center of Preacher and replaced it with something else. And it is a relationship that is not as deep, not as strong, not as soulful as what was going on in the book, or not as interesting in any way. Because you sort of get the feeling like, oh yeah, something happened, but Jesse, you don't get anything in this pilot that Jesse is deeply in love with her. You definitely don't get anything from Tulip that she has deep, deep feelings for him that she's holding back. Yeah, it seems like she wants to get back together, but it's more sort of like in a flippant attitude. The deep love is missing, and the deep love is what was at the center of Preacher. And it's the thing that made it work. You know, and there's just so many other things, like making Sheriff Root, you know, part of the community. That just seems wrong-headed to me. Sheriff Root shouldn't know Jesse. It should be a thing, again, where they're introduced. He doesn't know the nature of Jesse. Now, that's not to say that the representation of Sheriff Root wasn't well done. The actor did a great job with it. But again, the circumstances of how they meet, the circumstances of how everything occurs, the nature of Jesse's relationship to him is completely changed. And it's not really based off of the comic book whatsoever. Root in the comic is a man who is deeply, deeply scarred and just like buries any kind of emotion. Ignores it completely, you know, and is a lawman deep down in his bones. This Sheriff Root is a little bit of sort of like lifted from a Coen Brothers movie. He's sort of a little silly, a little bit intimidating as well, but again, it doesn't work as part of an adaptation. Sheriff Root, to me, in least in the beginning, is very much a man on mission. He's going to find the bad guys and bring them in. That's all he cares about, is his job. That is what his life is. That is what his, you know, love is. His son has deeply disappointed him. In this, it's just changed completely. He has affection for Arsface. You know, and quite honestly, Arsface was well done in a way. I loved the writing of the character. But again, the fact that he's a part of the community, the fact that Jesse ministers to him, I mean, that is a huge change. Because, again, the whole nature of the Root, Jesse, Arsface triangle has completely shifted. It's not based in any way of what exists in the comic book. It's a complete change. It's not an adaptation. It's a change. Because Arsface becomes another person who pursues Jesse after his father is killed. So, I mean, that's, you know, you could take that or leave that and see that as a minor thing, but at least in the comic, that was another monumental thing. Now, you know, the thing is, I don't believe these things are nitpicks. I think these are things that you can look in the book and you can pull them out and you can say, like, wow, this really works. Why did you remove that? Because so much of what is essential to the comic, I'm not even talking about events in the timeline. I'm not even talking about how the story is laid out. I'm talking about the essence of the characters. What is their background? What is it that makes them do what they do or behave like they behave? None of that is present here. This is a different thing altogether. And in my mind, an adaptation is when you take something and you mold it to work for a different medium. And I understand that Garth Ennis has given his blessing. I understand that Garth Ennis encouraged changes. You know, that's great. I hope Garth Ennis gets a big fat check. And a big fat check is a really good motivation for a creator to say, yeah, just do whatever the hell you want. But honestly, this is not the Preacher from the comic. Now, I haven't even talked about Cassidy yet. And Cassidy is the thing that, you know, when they cast Joseph Gilgun, when I heard about that casting, I was just so ecstatic because I'd seen his work on the British show Misfits, and he was fantastic. And then when he was announced as being cast as Cassidy, I was astounded. I was so happy because I've loved the guy's work. I think he's an amazing actor. And quite honestly, I was like, wow, you could not have cast a more perfect actor for that role. And, you know, in my mind, from what we've seen of Cassidy, at least the character of Cassidy, they nailed it. He's the one thing that worked for me. Now, am I a fan of, you know, vampires walking around in the sunlight? No. I mean, come on, that's bullshit. And that was like one of the big things that was in the comic, was that Cassidy would get into a problem and he wouldn't be able to get out of it because it was daylight. He couldn't function in the daytime. He could maybe go out covered up, but sunlight was lethal to him. To me, that's a pretty big change, and it's just being made for the ease of convenience to make the story work better in a way. But Cassidy, beyond the changes into how he's introduced in the story, you know, Cassidy works. Like, it is the only thing that really works for me in the story. Gilgun's got a fantastic sense of humor. He really embodies the spirit of the character. But again, there are so many things. The introduction in the airplane, it's just not necessary. You know, they're establishing that somebody's after Cassidy. They're establishing that they know that he's a vampire. It just doesn't need to be in there. Quite honestly, you could have cut that whole thing out, as spectacular as a set piece as it is. And see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, the need for spectacle in this pilot. It's not necessary to the core of Preacher. It just isn't. Preacher didn't need spectacle. Preacher had character. Preacher had heart. It had soul. Yeah, it had a lot of ridiculousness and a lot of juvenile, inappropriate sexual craziness. But I just feel like this pilot has embraced more of that, has embraced the juvenile aspects of Preacher, as opposed to building on the soul of what made the comic work. You know, and I guess, you know, I shouldn't be surprised because I don't know. I do like a lot of Seth Rogen's work. I mean, Mostly it's comedy. And you can see where his sensibility is plugged into this. But the problem is, we are talking about the guy who worked on the Green Hornet, another superhero property. And, you know, I don't know anything that much about the Green Hornet. I haven't read much about it. And I don't think it's like really a character that can be, you can't go too serious with it. But the problem is that I believe that Rogan's sensibilities lean towards comedy. That's what he's strong in. And that, and spectacle, and being big and being in your face. You know, one of my favorite comedies of all time is the Apocalypse one. This is the End. I mean, I think it's a fantastic movie. But again, it's very in your face. And that is what it seems the sensibility that has been brought to Preacher. Yes, the comic book had moments where you were like, what is going on here? Like, this is completely insane. But much of it was through dialogue. And, you know, the comedy, it was more the situation instead of the bodaciousness that is present in this pilot, instead of the body sort of nature that has been interjected into Preacher. And I think that that's sort of a failure on the part of the filmmakers, because again, Preacher is something that, to me, and you know, from what I've heard of a lot of fans, evoked Leone, evoked Badlands, evoked some really great filmmaking. And what we've got here is not, it's great editing, it's shot well, but it's just a whole different take on something that didn't need to be so drastically changed. It didn't need a drastic shift like that. You know, the biggest thing that just doesn't work is that it doesn't seem to take itself seriously. And I'm not talking about serious, like everything is sad, everything is, you know, but, you know, things are played for shock value. Things are played for laughs. And there is definitely a gravitas that is missing here. There is definitely a soulfulness that is missing. And the thing is I'm not here to say that it was a bad show. I don't think it was a badly made TV show. It's just not Preacher. You know, it's got the name on there, but it isn't. It isn't Preacher. You know, it's something very different. It's something completely new. And, you know, for me, is that something that I can accept? I can say, like, last night, when I finished watching it, there was definitely some anger there. Because I feel like an opportunity has been missed. So far, at least watching this pilot. This isn't the sort of thing where, you know, I'm mad, I'm stomping off, I'm never going to watch this again. I mean, I do feel it's a failure. It's a failure in attempting to adapt the subject matter. But, you know, it's got a 90% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Fans or TV watchers, your average Joe, seems to enjoy it. I will admit that it was well shot, well acted, well put together, well produced. I mean, it's a solid hour of television, but it is not the Preacher that a lot of comic fans have come to know and love. Me specifically being one of them. And I'm grown up enough to know that not everything is going to be like it is in the comics. But here's the thing is, I feel that Preacher, to me, is a masterwork. Very much like I thought Watchmen was a masterpiece. you know, of comic book storytelling. You know, Watchmen is obviously on another level, but Preacher, to me, when it came out, gosh, 20 years ago, you know, and when I finished the series, it was a journey and a voyage that was very important to me and very poignant. I felt like these people became my friends. And this series is basically, it's that sort of thing where, you know, it must be like when you're related to a celebrity and they make a TV movie out of them. And I'm sure that the people that are related to celebrities that kind of like live their lives through them, they go and see these biopics if they see them at all. And they're like, what the hell is this? This totally misses the mark. Like, this is ridiculous. And that's kind of how I feel about Preacher. I feel like they've taken my comic that was a member of my family and made a silly biopic out of it. And they filled it with splash and spectacle and quick editing, but they've lost the soul of the piece. And so much of that soul is because of Jesse Custer and the Tulip relationship. I mean, they just fucked up the dad moment so badly. They show the dad being killed in flashbacks, or it heavily insinuate that the father was killed. And they ruin that speech. They just ruin it. The speech of like what he says to Jesse before he's killed. You know, why do we have to be the good guys? Because there's far too many of the bad. It's almost secondary. It's not given the power that it was in the comics. Now, maybe there will be an extended flashback in future episodes. Maybe there'll be a longer episode. I have the feeling that that's coming. But they shouldn't have even shown it in this. They shouldn't have cheapened that moment. Because it was cheapened. Like a lot of things were in this pilot. As far as like the depth and the gravitas, again, using that word gravitas, of what came from the comic book. So I don't know. Will I watch the next episode? I think it's kind of incredibly messed up that I have to wait 2 weeks, because I am very curious to see where the show goes. I don't think I will hate watch it. If I seriously come to the point where I'm like, oh man, I just cannot watch this, I will walk away from it. Just like I've walked away from Fear of the Walking Dead and I walked away from True Detective during season 2. I mean, I will not cut shows off. There are too many Penny Dreadfuls and, you know, other amazing shows out there to watch, to waste my time on something that I do not like. So, I mean, maybe the failure is in me, you know, in being such a huge fan, but I don't think that it is, because I don't think that, I think that while it fails as an adaptation, it also comes across as a bit of a shallow piece for me right now. There's a depth that is lacking. And I do want to see future episodes and see if it recaptures it. But this is very much, you know, especially with that end scene in the church, where you think what's going to happen in the church is going to happen in the comic book. And it doesn't. At the end, another essential change to Jesse, where he recommits himself to his flock, recommits himself to being a preacher, says he's going to make it work. And that is not even close to being part of the comic book. I don't care what you say to me, it isn't. And so it seems like we're taking an extended stay in the town of Anvil. And it very much seems like what the filmmakers have done here is kind of done a Cliff Notes version of Fargo, or a less intelligent or deep version of what the Coen brothers have done in so many of their movies. I mean, the influences are all over it. Tarantino, Coen brothers. I mean, it's there. They're lifting from some of the best. But the problem is like, I don't think it's congealing into a stew that takes the best aspects of the comic book. Yeah, I mean, I think that's all I can really say. Is it professionally done? Yes. Will people who have not ever read the comic like it? Sure, I bet they will. But for somebody like me, who just loves the original series so damn much, who loves Steve Dillon's pacing in the comic. And that's the thing, is people are going to say, oh yeah, well you can't do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's bullshit. You don't have to follow the comic panel per panel. You don't have to follow the book page per page. It doesn't have to be a direct interpretation. But you can look at that and go, okay, there's pacing here. Okay, there's tension building here. Okay, it's a slow build. Okay, now there's like a huge intrusion of wrongness that the reader has to deal with. But Dillon and Ennis's book is a fantastic piece of work. And this pilot, and probably this series, is not doing it the service that it deserves. It could have been so much better. It could have been stronger. It could have been more soulful. And it just seems like they didn't trust the audience to fall into that. They didn't trust the audience to be intelligent enough to follow along with something that took its time. Instead, it's very much in your face. And it's fun in its own way, but it doesn't capture the strengths of what the original comic captured for me. So, I don't know. I leave it up to you. This is very much, you know, to decide for yourself. Obviously, everyone should decide for themselves. But in my opinion, this is not a good adaptation. In my opinion, it didn't capture the spirit. It didn't capture the playful. It does capture the bizarre playfulness in a way, but it does it in such a way that's different from the comic book. Again, the comic was grounded. You felt like in a real world. And this, it feels very much like what people think comic books are, and the comic book preacher is not. If that makes any sense. So, I don't know. Make up your own mind. Watch the show. Don't watch the show. I really don't care. I know that there is a part of my heart that is broken because I love the comic so much. I'm going to continue reading the series and continue breaking it down. You know, this show is not going to stop me. Because I love the comic book and nothing can take that away from me. But I do have to leave. I will leave with this, just this one thing. You know, it's easy to say like, we'll always have the book. It's easy to say like, yeah, well, that's the movie. And this is the comic that it originated from. But the thing is, and the thing that a lot of comic fans definitely become rightfully concerned about, is that TV movies, it's a very powerful medium. Comics do not have the reach that TV and movies do in this country. And my biggest concern, well, my biggest worry, in a way, is that this preacher show, you know, it becomes successful and it becomes what Preacher is to the general public, to the public at large. It, because it's easy to watch, it's easy to turn on the TV. You don't have to read it. You don't have to look at pictures. It's just there, ready, waiting for you. That this becomes what Preacher means to people. and the comic becomes secondary. And I know it's a stupid concern because it's not my comic. I don't own it. I don't have a stake in it except for my love for it. But in a way, I do get some of my hardcore nerd friends' meaning when they say that the movies cheapen the comic books in a way. And I don't always feel that's true. I don't feel that way for the Marvel movies. You know, but I feel that stuff like this kind of does or could have the potential to. And that's not what I want, because Preacher for me is a gem. It's the royal gem in the crown. The brightest and biggest glittering diamond that there is. And that is my level of disappointment. I'm as disappointed in Preacher as I was with the Watchmen movie, as I was with Man of Steel. Now, Man of Steel gets me angrier than the other two. But, you know, I wanted to like it. I was open-minded. It may not seem like it after this hour of me rambling to you. But I wanted to like it, and I still may like the show. I just don't know that my comic nerd love DNA for Preacher can get past what this show is versus what it could be and should be in my mind based off of the comic book. So anyway, those have been my sort of very basic thoughts on the Preacher pilot. I had to get it out. I had to speak about it. I wish some of the others had been here to talk with me about it, because I'm sure they would have brought up many salient points. And if you have something to say to me, if you listen to this podcast, email me. You know, it's ptf@parttimefanboy.com. You know, go to our website, parttimefanboy.com. Follow us on Twitter, parttimefanboy, @parttimefanboy. You know, we have a Facebook page. You know, check us out there. Tell me what you think of the Preacher pilot. You know, if it's anything, you'll probably be like, screw off, fanboy, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you just like it? It is what it is. And that's fine, you know, if that's what you think. But it's not what I think. I think it could have been better. I think it could have been much better. And I wanted to love it. I really, really did. All right. That has been this episode of Part-Time Fanboy. I Bill Burr'd it. Hopefully this has been a worthwhile listen to you. If not, let me know that too. And you know what? Throw some reviews up on iTunes. Somebody review us on iTunes. Hopefully we will be back next week with another episode, but thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to me make my points about the Preacher pilot. Whether you agree or disagree, I appreciate you taking the time. Take care and have a great week. Bye. Part-time fanboy.